paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
It's just a sickening feeling, isn't it, when there are stories like this?
Driving in, seriously, I don't want to come to work on days like this anymore.
I only speak for myself, but I think probably a lot of people the same way, feeling so profoundly sad when you hear, as I'd mentioned, every Sunday morning when I come in and I see these statistics of how many people were killed in Chicago over a weekend, it makes me so profoundly sad. And more often, seems like becoming more often than not, now it's kids. Little kids. That makes me so sad.
And as, you know, broadcasters, I suppose what we should be doing is being exciting about being on top of things and breaking all the news. But it's too much. There's too much death, Dean.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sorry. I would like to say that I can, you know, that my professionalism would outshine my humanity of feeling so sad and exasperated in, you know, trying to bring some dialogue to this whole thing. But, you know, the police officers are being assassinated on the street.
And we should be human first and broadcasters second. That's in my opinion anyway.
Yeah. I mean, there are problems that need to be corrected with the police, of course. The vast majority are great and brave, and I would never be able to do their job in a million years. And, you know, they work to protect other people. They put their own lives in jeopardy to protect other people. And the idea that they are being assassinated on the street.
It's like war.
It's like some kind of uncivilized universe that we're living in. It's beyond comprehension.
And here's something that, you know, I probably, it's a controversial thought, but when veterans, you know, who tell the stories of the terrible things that happened to them, we don't judge them as much. We don't judge them for what they had to do. And I feel like some of these police officers are actually in a war zone all the time.
I agree. Completely agree. And I'm sure that our next guest does as well. The former Chicago police superintendent, Gary McCarthy, who is at LaGuardia Airport right now and about to get on an airplane. So we really appreciate you taking a minute talk to us. Not about the specifics of the shooting, because really none of us know that much about the specifics or motivations, etc. right now. But as a former police officer, as the head of several police forces in America, I mean, you must feel beyond distressed that this is going on. This what seems like now becoming a trend of police officers being shot, targeted and shot.
Yeah, and you know what, Gene, it's worse than that for me, because I think back to the whole World Trade Center 9/11 issue. My brother Jimmy was a New York State trooper who had retired just beforehand, right before 9/11, and I remember he was distraught because he was out of the game and couldn't do anything about it. And right now I'm feeling that same emotion.
You can imagine.
You know, it's the greatest challenge that my profession has ever faced. You know, a 35-year career, I was considered a thought leader among my peers in the country, and I'm not in the game. I can't do anything about it. I have an opportunity right now. One of the reasons I'm coming from New York is that I was just on CNN a couple of nights ago, and I was in a town hall meeting with Black Lives Matter, and I made the offer. I said, I will put you in a room with the leaders of law enforcement across the country. The Black Lives Matter. And I know that my friends will do this. My colleagues will do this. And when I reached out to my colleagues, they said, hey, we've already made that offer, and it's been refused. I mean, the world is just completely upside down right now. And like you said, we don't know the circumstances of this event. And the first five reports from the scene are always wrong. So this is going to play out. But the latest news that I got was that there were three gunmen. They were wearing masks. This is obviously a trap, an ambush, an assassination, and it's not the first, and it's not the second. Two officers were killed here in New York City a couple of years ago, Officers Liu and Ramos, and this is now becoming commonplace. And I blame the political atmosphere in this country, and I blame the culture of noncompliance that is now growing into a culture of violence against police officers. You can't shut down Michigan Avenue with elected officials and community leaders. You can't tell people that it's okay to actively resist arrest and not to comply with police officers' direction. You have an obligation to comply with that direction. When it starts at that location, at that level, that people now are legitimizing the noncompliance, this is a natural outgrowth of that particular dynamic. And there's lots of blame to go around.
It goes
right up to the Department of Justice, in my mind.
What's the thinking behind this noncompliance policy?
The thinking is that, well, look, you know, and to be clear, I don't think that any of these young black men needed to die or should have died. We could have done better, and we've got to do better in policing. No two ways about it. But I think it grows out of the disenfranchised community, which is generally going to be African-American in this country, living in an environment where a government system is failing them. There's poverty, lack of education, breakup of the family unit, poor health care, rampant narcotics. You name all those conditions in a distressed community. And it represents a failure of the American government, whether it's municipal, state, local, whatever it might be, federal, to provide for those individuals. And they become distressed, and they say to themselves, well, why should I comply with the most visible component of this system, which is the police, if I'm not being served by it? I think it's a natural outgrowth of the negative experience of African-Americans in this country. Now, I'm not dismissing it, but I'm just recognizing that I think we need to recognize where it comes from. And then first acknowledge what's happened, and then figure out a way to fix it. And nobody's doing that.
What would be a better way to be dealing with all of this? I mean, you certainly dealt with your share of massive protests in the streets of Chicago. What would have been a better way to have dealt with it all?
The massive protests, I don't have an issue dealing with. What I do have an issue dealing with is when we get police officers punched in the face on video at those demonstrations, and we can't get them prosecuted. This is what I'm talking about. There's plenty of blame to go around. And in one very specific incident in Chicago, while I was still a police superintendent, we had a picture of one of the leaders of Black Lives Matter punching a police officer in the face. We arrested him. Community leaders came to his defense. Elected officials came to his defense. And he was non-processed by the state's attorney. That is simply unacceptable.
What we had some of the leaders of Black Lives Matter on the show an hour or so ago. They talked about the need for change, and also what they said was that they don't advocate violence against anyone. Is that sufficient? Do you think a statement like that?
Sufficient.
I mean, they didn't say we don't they didn't say anything specific about police, but they made the statement that they don't advocate violence against anyone.
No, that's not okay. It's not okay. They have to decry the violence. They have to tell people it's not okay. They have to take it from there. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get through TSH, and I got to cut you off.
Okay, I understand. I don't want you I don't want you to get strip searched or anything.
I'll call back in 5 minutes.
Okay. All right. I appreciate
Thanks.
That. Chicago Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy with some very strong views on all of this.